Welcome back to the Fit Dad Club podcast. My name is Travis Jones and I'm here with Jason Barrett. Jace, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. It's the first time I'm feeling relatively all right after a little bit of illness, a little bit of a mid-back tweak where you kind of twist your body and you feel like you need your back cracked, but you know that might actually do more harm than good. I'm actually going to go to the gym today, which would be nice.
I love it, mate. And you know, the signs of a sore back here and there are maybe the signs of being a dad, mate.
Yeah, they're relevant. Holding an 11 kilo child and swinging her around and stuff, you know, just part and parcel of the business.
Exactly, mate. And I'm just coming off the back of a flu myself. Yeah. So if I sound a little bit nasally for everyone out there, guys, bear with me. Next week I'll be fighting fit, but today just a little bit sounding a little bit different.
Yeah. Just go easy on me this week.
Exactly. Go easy on me in the comments. Yeah. Guys, what we're talking about today is if I was to start from scratch, if me and Jace were to start from scratch and we were, say, 120 kilos and we wanted to lose, you know, 20, 30 kilos and we wanted to get back to our fighting weight of, say, 90 kilos, with everything I know now, how would I approach this? So some of you might have 10 to 15 kilos to lose. Some of you might have 20 to 30 kilos to lose. And I want you to listen in today. This is how I would approach it. And now there's different approaches, and we're going to talk about an aggressive one and also a consistent one as well. Personally, knowing my behaviors and habits, I would go towards a bit more of an aggressive approach. But if you are someone who, with an aggressive approach, will know that you would have some sort of an all or nothing mindset and find it hard to stick to it, then you would go towards the more of the consistent approach that we talk about today as well. So there's two ways to do this, guys. There is the aggressive approach and there is the consistent approach. And if we're looking at either way, we want to be losing between 1% to 2% of total body weight per week. So if we're 120 kilos, we want to be losing somewhere between 1.2 kilos to 2.4 kilos per week, every week, to achieve our goals. Now, both of those might seem aggressive to a lot of you out there, but I'll tell you right now, one is more aggressive than the other. And it's just understanding our behaviors and looking at a bit of math and seeing how we can stick to it with proper structured meals and timings and essentially consistency inside the constraints that you have inside your life. So when we look at this, I think the biggest thing to start with is we have to understand, well, to lose a kilo of body fat, we need to create a 7,700 calorie deficit. Now, we burn a certain amount of calories on a daily basis. And if I'm 120 kilos and I have a somewhat of a sedentary lifestyle, I'm an office worker, I'm going to be burning about 2,700 calories on the daily basis. And this is just you at rest. If you eat those sort of 2,600 to 2,700 calories, you're not going to gain weight, you're not going to lose weight, you're going to maintain your weight. So to lose a kilo of fat on a weekly basis, we need to create a 1,000 calorie deficit. So we would start to eat 1,700 calories a day and we would lose a kilo a week without any type of exercise because we've created that deficit, that 1,000 calorie deficit per day. Now, if we want to be more aggressive, we can either obviously not train and, you know, eat less calories and we're going to have a further deficit, or we can add in some training in there and we can further the deficit. There's a couple of caveats in here when I look at it as well. We don't want to just lose weight, okay? We want to make sure we're losing fat. And I think that's a big thing because no one wants to be soft and overweight and then just become a softer, still overweight essentially version of them. No one wants to be skinny fat. Everyone wants to be, you know, lean, somewhat hard. They want to feel defined, whatever words you want to use. So with this, we want to be making sure we're having enough protein inside our calorie deficit. When we are eating enough protein, we're inside a calorie deficit. Protein is muscle sparing, so it helps us hold on to that lean muscle mass as we're losing weight. So we want to be going around that 1.8 to 2 grams of protein per kilo. You know, and saying that, I would say somewhere about 190 grams of protein a day is a great approach for this. Now, you're not going, because you are carrying a fair bit of fat, so we're looking at 1.8 to 2 grams per kilo of like lean mass maybe, but 190 grams of protein is good for someone of this size. So that was what I would shoot for as far as my protein intake on the daily basis. And we'll break this down a little bit as well, how to get there. Then we have our steps, which is the next thing. It's like, I don't like to create step goals for myself without seeing how many steps I'm actually doing on a daily basis. If I'm an office worker, I'll probably be doing about 4,000 to 5,000 steps a day. So you know, looking at that, I would shoot for a minimum of 8,000 steps a day just to move up the needle a little bit. We want to be making sure we're doing above about 52,000 steps a week just to move us out of sedentary with the lifestyle. And then we can start to look at the training side of things. So that's like when we're looking at the, look, taking a step back and looking at the big levers, we would be making sure how many calories am I burning. I want to put myself into about 1,000 calorie a day deficit for this if I want to be on this more of the aggressive approach. I want to be looking at my steps and I want to increase this slightly to a minimum of 8,000 steps a day. I'm going to be looking at my protein for muscle sparing, so I'm holding on to muscle mass, and that means I'm going to be having about 1.8 grams of protein per kilo, so 190 grams for this particular person. And then the last thing is when we're looking at our training, we want to be making sure that we're doing something daily. Now, when we're starting out, okay, this is a key thing, okay, we're not looking for the most scientific-based approach or a 5x5 strong, you know, method or anything like that. I just want to be doing something daily.
German volume training, 10 sets. Yeah, 10.
We don't want to break you. We don't want to break your nervous system. We don't want to make you so sore you can't move for the next 5 days. We want to do something daily because what we want to do is we want to start stacking wins. Because if I think about it, if I'm 120 or 130 kilos, I probably haven't trained for a little bit. I probably am out of whack with my consistency with my training as well. So I want to have two different approaches for this. I want to have a training plan that's somewhat maybe full body that I can get in there. I'm doing a little bit of legs, doing a little bit of push, a little bit of pull. I'm in the gym for about 30 to 40 minutes when I get into the gym. And if I can't make it to the gym, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to do an at-home program that's a minimum 10 minutes. So it could be, you know, 10 squats, 10 push-ups, 10 sit-ups, and I'll just go as an AMRAP, so as many rounds as possible for 10 minutes. So if I can't get to the gym, then I default back to my minimum threshold of training. So I am trying to ingrain the habit that I am someone who does something every day. Now, with my strength training in the gym, I'll go into the gym. I'll do that for 30 to 40 minutes. I would have like two lower body, two upper body as far as push, two pull, and I'll go in somewhat of a circuit format. Just, and I wouldn't be pushing super heavy weight. I'm just trying to get back into the flow of training. And I would train 3 to 4 times a week. And on my off days, I'll be doing about 20 to 30 minutes of sort of cardio just so I can get doing it. And if I'm not doing the cardio, again, you could go for about 10 minute jog. Just jog for 5 minutes out, jog back for 5 minutes, or walk for 5 minutes out, walk back for 5 minutes. Either way, I'm doing something daily. And that's, if I look at the landscape of things, you know, everyone can fit 10 minutes a day in. Everyone can make sure that they're walking 8,000 steps a day just with a couple of walks. And everyone can just, you know, do a little bit of math and work out that calorie deficit. And we'll go into the minutiae after this. Jace, is this what you would look at as well, mate?
For an aggressive approach, 100%. I think it's good that both of us are on because you tend to be the more, all right, let's just fucking go hard, get it done. I'm definitely more of the consistency, like just like plug away at it to like and just keep on grinding. That tends to be my philosophy and my style. My thinking would be exactly the same. You're looking at that sort of 1%. So if we look at a more, I guess, wrap up the more aggressive approach, 100% agree. I'd be setting that incremental step goal and increasing that as a priority when I did need to lose more. And then, as you said, upping the protein that little bit higher than average, just to get that extra bit of thermic effect of food and burning that a little bit of extra calories as well. So, and I have done those more aggressive ones before where you have done a drastic cut for probably, 6 to 8 weeks maximum, and then you bring calories back up. So that would be kind of the cycle that you would be looking at doing. You wouldn't want to sit in that space for too long. You'd want to cycle that through with breaks. So for a more consistent approach, and what I would tend to do is, number one, I'd set that end goal. So I'd go, all right, if I'm going to be losing, 30 kilos, and let's say I lose an average of a kilo a week, or maybe slightly under that if we want to be conservative, maybe somewhere between 800 grams and a kilo a week, where does that place me in the calendar? All right, that puts me at, from now, it's the 14th of March when they're recording this. So April, May, June, July. So like actually I have no idea how many weeks.
September.
That would be, all right, September. I'll trust you. So that would put me around September. All right, what, if my goal is then, all right, let's say halfway, I want to be 15th of September or whatever the goal date is. That's the date that I want to be seeing 90 kilos on the scale, right? Cool. We've got that goal in mind and we want to break that down into not necessarily sprints, but probably, Trav would probably break his down into sprints. I'd break mine down into jogs. a little bit easier. My sprint is Trav's jog. So I'd break that down and go, all right, so therefore I need to make sure I'm at that 125 by this mark or 120 by this mark. Those are the little goals that I'm going to be working towards. And then you've got a bigger timeline, and you factor in every, let's say, 12 to 16 weeks, you take a break for a week or two. And maybe that coincides with like a birthday or an event or something that you've got coming up. It's like, all right, I want to schedule in those diet breaks, because you can't just plug away at 20 to 30 kilos nonstop. Like, not everyone can do it. Some people can, but your body, there's a certain point where it's just going to put the brakes on. And it's going to be like, all right, now you got to fucking chill, because every day that you're in a deficit is like your body is in a deficit of nutrients. Your body is in a deficit of energy. It's going to, over time, take a psychological and a physiological toll. So you need to have some planned diet breaks in there where you know, okay, cool. As soon as I feel this way, like as soon as I start fucking dreaming about donuts, I need to have a bit of a diet break. I bump myself back up to maintenance for a week, you know, maybe 2 weeks, see how I go, and then go back down. If you start feeling really fucking low energy, your sleep starts getting impacted. I have one of our guys, Cameron, who listens to the podcast. I recently bumped him up his calories because he was on a deficit for quite a while. It got quite down there, and his sleep started to take a hit. And your sleep is fucking important, especially in the fat loss phase. So we bumped the calories back up a little bit. So for me, I'll be looking at that, probably closer to that 1% body weight a week. I'd be looking at making sure I get activity in every day, even if it's a walk. As Trav said, I still think that step goal, there's nothing too aggressive about that step goal. I think that should just be a minimum for everyone. Scheduling in that activity on the weekends. And as Trav's saying, at least 3 sessions a week for me of resistance training, maybe like a upper body, lower body, then a whole body, something along those lines. Just getting something in, as Trav is saying, even if it's like a 10-minute jog, 10-minute run, that would be the minimum standard for me to make that happen. But it's first for me about setting that goal, that mark of, all right, cool, so mid-September is when I want to be 90. Like, you've got now you've got a date in the calendar, rather than, oh, I want to lose 30 kilos. Fucking, it could happen this year, it could happen next year. If you're not specific about when you want it done, it's just going to drag on, because then it's like, oh, like, I've got so much to lose. One more weekend won't hurt. One more break won't hurt. One more week of just kind of putting it off won't hurt. But it does, because that shit snowballs. So that's why you've got to almost like plan it out like a fucking school term. It's like, all right, while the kids are at school, I've got 12 weeks of dieting. When they're on holidays, I'll have 2 weeks of a diet break. Like, you could fucking do it like that if you wanted to. Move it around the school term. But it comes fundamentally back down to making sure you're getting enough protein, making sure you're tracking your weight and you're losing at the rate that is consistent with your goal. And that's kind of the fundamental for me. So it'd be like 12-week blocks of fat loss focus, 2-week blocks of slightly like maintenance, slightly higher calories, making sure I'm getting good quality training in at that time. And that's kind of the way that I would ratchet it down, because I'm a bit more of a grinder personally. Whenever I'm in the gym and I do like really, really slow reps, people are like, oh, that was your last one. I'm like, no, I've got like 3 more. I'm just a grinder. I'm not an explosive person.
I love it, mate. I love it. And I think when we're looking at this, I definitely agree. When I look at it, I look at aggressive cuts for about a 6-week period of time, because psychologically you have an end date to the actual diet. It's like, I'm on this diet for the next 6 weeks. And in that 6 weeks, my goal is to lose somewhere between 8 kilos and 12 kilos. So I have this sort of bandwidth that I'm happy to sit within. And then I would have a 1 to 2 week break so I can psychologically reset and have that up at maintenance calories. Now, remembering this, again, knowing what I know now, my maintenance calories will adjust every single time. And I think this is what you have to look at. So if I'm making a 1,000 calorie deficit a day off my 2,700 calories at my sedentary level, being 120 kilos, now if I've lost 10 kilos in that first 6 weeks and I go on to a diet break at maintenance calories, my maintenance calories now might be, you know, 2,450. So I go up to 2,450 calories for, you know, 1 to 2 weeks. And now I need to make that further aggressive notch down to stay within that 1,000 calorie deficit a day. So I'd go for 3 6-week blocks to lose that sort of 30 kilos, but I've got 1 to 2 weeks interspersed in between each of those 6-week blocks. So if we look at it, you can lose 1 kilo or just under 1 kilo a week for 30 to 34 weeks, or you can be aggressive and have, you know, go hard for 6 weeks, 2 week break, hard. And so it's like, you know, 3 8-week blocks, which is about 24 weeks. So, you know, the aggressive style really only gets you there maybe 8 weeks faster, maybe two months faster. It is more of an aggressive style to do it, with slightly longer diet breaks in between. But it's just, you know, it's, you know, 2 fists, 1/2 dozen the other, right? It's like either way, whichever one's, you know, floats your boat is the way you'd go towards it. But that's how I would look anyway.
Yeah, I think because there is some research that shows that the more aggressive you are for longer, it does lend itself to slightly more muscle mass loss in the longer term. It's like, again, it's not going to be the hugest amount in the world, but what I would probably look at doing is maybe starting off a bit, and this is all, you've got to understand yourself, right? Mm. We've talked about this on the podcast a number of times. You've got to, first of all, look within and know, hey, am I the person that can have temptation in the house? And like, that's the kind of stuff. Like Trav knows, I can't have Tim Tams unless they're in the fridge, then I won't touch them. We know this, right? For me, I can have like two squares of chocolate and be cool with that and not have to have any more. Like I can manage that. Like I'll end up fucking snacking throughout the day, but I'll just adjust my dinner to make up for it. I'll be like, oh fuck, I had too many Cruskets or nuts or whatever, so I'm just gonna adjust my dinner to suit it. You know, sometimes I regret it, but I'll always stay within my calories. That's my way of doing it. If you're not someone who can do that, don't do that. I tend to want to be more aggressive towards the end of a cut because that's when you start seeing shit come through. That's because for the first 20 kilos, you've got to know that you're just turning from a big you to a slightly smaller version of you. You look kind of the same. Your definition's kind of the same. Maybe your chest and your shoulders start to pop a little bit if you've got some muscle mass there. But you know, you kind of look the same for the first while. And then when you start losing that sort of last 10, 5, 3 kilos, it's like that's when it starts to really like... At the moment, I'm on a deficit and it's kind of changes are coming through daily. And I'm like, oh, I could see like more lines here. And it's more motivating. So it encourages you to want to push harder. So you've just got to know what you're motivated by. And if you're motivated by seeing the scale number go down, cool, you can go aggressive for most of it. If you're motivated by like seeing the physical changes in the mirror and it kind of frustrates you, you might want to, you might want to be more aggressive towards the end and just kind of be more consistent, plot along so you can mentally get through those rougher periods. But as Trevor was saying, having those like plans, those little flags along the way to go, hey, I know that there is an end coming. It's like the, you know, 10 more burpees. All right, cool. You can do a minute more of anything, right? What, you know, 30 seconds more of a plank. You can do that once they tell you it's 30 seconds more, but it's actually fucking 45 seconds because they want to push you. That's the old PT trick. But you've got that end date. You've got that, okay, cool. I know at this point I can have it. So therefore I'm not inclined to, and it's controlled. And I've got a calorie goal that I'm going to set for that point in time. And you might think, oh, 2,200 or 2,300 calories, that doesn't sound like that much. It is a lot when you've been on 1,800. An extra 500 calories is like fucking, it's like two of your meals being 50% bigger. Yep. It's a big deal. Like it adds a lot. And my recommendation for anyone who is going through that phase would be to make sure when you do go on those calories, you're not drastically changing the kinds of foods you're eating. You're just upping portion sizes. Because it's like, it's not an excuse to then go, oh, I can fit in a fucking Zinger burger here and there and I can, you know, make this work and whatever. It's like, no, you kind of eat the same sort of shit. Like the only change I make is I just sub out my cereal, yogurt and berries for oats, yogurt and berries. Like, so I just get a bit more carbs in and when I'm on a maintenance because I enjoy them. That's like the only change I make. The rest of it is the same sort of foods, wraps, sandwiches, pastas, that kind of stuff with all the lean meats. Just that, but a bigger serve. So don't overcomplicate your food going into it. Try and simplify your food. And, you know, we did that episode a couple of weeks ago on simplifying shit. All of that is the kind of mentality I would take in. So knowing yourself, knowing what is going to motivate you more, like are you someone who can plug away? Are you someone who needs to kind of do those more sprint and reset? And just being aware of that. For me, I like to start slow because I know that there's going to be, I want to maintain as much muscle as possible because when you've got very little of it, like me, you want to hold on to it. It's very important. But yeah, that's kind of the mentality I'll take. I would kind of start slow and then I would sprint towards the end because then you really start seeing those final little changes and then you get that reward quicker.
Yeah, I love it, mate. I love it. So looking at this, I think going into a cut, obviously, if again, when people think about, oh, I'm down to 2450 or 2500 calories for my maintenance, and you're trying to go into a 1,000 calorie deficit per day, that means I have to be on like 1450 or 1500 calories a day. I think that's when I'd lean towards some of my guys going, or myself, if this was me, into more of a calorie cycling approach. So I'd have 1 to 2 days a week that are lower. And this might sound super aggressive to some people, but it might be around 1,000 to 1,200 calories on 1 to 2 of the days of the week. So then the rest of my days of the week could be up around that 1700 to 1800 calories. And I just go into those days knowing, hey, I'll be a bit hungrier today. I am eating mostly protein and fat, very little carbohydrates on those days. So I can still maintain a higher protein-based diet. And again, muscle sparing, but that's how I would calorie cycle. Remember, we've got multiple tools in our tool belt, so we know what tool to deploy at different times. And I think everyone's individual at this point. Some people will go through like a modified intermittent fasting approach. Some people will go through a lower calorie, more aggressive cycling approach. And some people will just stay at a higher straight calorie approach as well. So everyone's context matters in this, and everyone is completely different. I think that has to come into play. So knowing yourself is such a crucial thing when we're looking at it. But if we are going into a modified intermittent fast style, I will sort of save my calories from mostly from noon till 9 p.m. And it'll be a modified intermittent fast. So the first thing in the morning, I would have to make sure I'm getting my protein up around that 190 grams. I'd have a shake. So just whey protein in some water. First thing in the morning, I'm getting about 30 grams of protein in there. I'd have about 600 calorie lunch with about 40, 50 grams of protein inside my lunch. I would have, you know, two different options for my lunch and keep it consistent, as Jason was saying, super simple. Don't deviate from the plan. Remember, we're going for 6 weeks. We're being aggressive. I would have possibly a 200 calorie snack in the afternoon, maybe a shake that I've blended up with some berries to give me a bit of food volume, and an 800 calorie dinner. 800 calories is very voluminous for dinner.
When you're eating the right food, that's a fucking lot of food.
It is, man. And then probably like a 150 calorie snack for dessert, maybe some Greek yogurt, you know, again, some berries or a bit of protein in there. But I look for about 30 grams first thing, about 50 grams for lunch, about 20 to 30 grams as a snack in the afternoon with protein, about 50 grams of protein for dinner, and about 20, 30 grams protein for my dessert. And I would sort of play that out, and I would keep it super simple and consistent pretty much every day. And people might think, oh, that's super boring. And I was like, well, if you're going towards consistency as far as aggressiveness, you want to keep it simple. You don't want, like, because you don't want to have other, you know, other things into the mix. Oh, what elaborate dinner are we having tonight? Like, no, just keep it simple and just nail it every single day to achieve the result, because we don't want to be over complex with our food choices during this time.
You don't need decision fatigue, right? Like, this is a big thing people already have, like, especially when they're going out for dinner. Oh, what do you want for dinner? What do you want to go out for? Do you feel like Mexican? Do you feel like tired? It becomes this fucking, this rigmarole. And it happens, you know, even in my household, sometimes when we're setting out the meals for the week, it's like, oh, we have, you know, 10, 15 different meals that we tend to have for dinner that we kind of rotate through. It's all about like, what do we feel like? And it's often about more so, what does my wife feel like? Cause I'll kind of eat whatever, cause I'm cooking it. So I know what's in it and I know that it's going to hit my goals. So you've got to, like, go, if you haven't listened to the episode, go back two episodes ago. We talked about keeping shit simple, because if you don't keep it simple, if you overcomplify, that's a new word. It sounds like a new app, you know, overcomplify.io, some fucking crypto thing. If you overcomplicate it, you create decision fatigue, and that decision fatigue is more often than not what will kill your diet. Especially even if you have the diet break scheduled, if you're continually making all these fucking decisions about food, then it just becomes a struggle. It just becomes like, oh fuck, I've got to think about my food. I've got to think about what my meal is. Not, you know what my meal is? It's what I had for dinner last night. What did I have for dinner last night? The same thing I had for dinner the night before. And the same thing I have every Tuesday, which was Taco Tuesday. I've got a fucking two wraps. I've got 200 grams of beef mince and some cheese and some veggies. That's it. That's what I'm having, right? And like, that's all it needs to be. So keep your shit as, I would do the exact same thing. I would keep my shit as simple as possible. I'd be like, when I was really deep into my cut last time, I was basically just prepping oven baked chicken breast and having that with salad every lunch. That was my thing. Lettuce and capsicum and pickles and shit like that, and a bit of sriracha. And that was my lunch. It was like 70, 80 grams of protein, because it was like 300 grams of chicken breast. It was awesome for my protein. I got sick of it eventually, but you know, if you can still ride that out for 4 or 5 weeks and then swap it, awesome. So keep your shit simple, keep focused, and think a bit. The biggest thing is be proactive with your adjustments if you want to hit that goal, because results motivate you. Seeing the results will motivate you. If you hover around the same sort of weight for like 2 weeks and you're not really getting any more muscular, you're not in those initial weeks where you're kind of recompositioning and dropping all that bloat, you're probably going to feel a bit unmotivated. So you need to make a change and know that you're progressing, right? Progress equals happiness for a lot of people. So have your ways of tracking progress. I'd be measuring, especially if I hadn't been training for a while, be measuring my stomach as well, making sure I get a belly button measurement as another way of tracking my progress, just to make sure that I know I'm moving forward. It's the biggest thing for me. But I'm probably one of those people that can I would do like one really, really low day a week if I needed to. If that was the stretch I needed to make, I would go one day where I just do dinner and I would just fast throughout the day and, you know, just go for walks and you know, coffee and green tea and herbal teas would be the go for the day, or Coke Zeros, whatever. But that would be probably the what I would do. But I like to keep it. I'm a consistency man. That's me at the end of the day.
Now, I think accountability, environmental factors are a big thing. Whether if I look back and I was trying to start my approach, I think accountability is a big thing because, again, I'm trying to change my life. You know, I didn't have great behaviors or habits in place. So now I know what I need to do. I need to create my cart. I need to do this training. I need to, you know, this is how I'd set up my meals. I need to be accountable. So I'd probably, you know, find someone, whether that be a coach, or I would find someone who I respect, and I would try and stay accountable to them daily, just for the first 2 weeks. So every single day, it's like, yep, hit my training, yep, hit my steps, yep, hit my calories. And every single day, I'd close off my day, letting them know that I was accountable to what I said I was going to do. Now, this is going to force you to do the work. So I'd probably be accountable to someone. I would have my measurements and my weight, my photos, just sent them to them every Friday for those first couple of weeks as well, just to make sure I can keep, because an object in motion stays in motion. All I'm trying to do is I'm trying to force motion in the first couple of weeks, because once I'm in motion, I will stay in motion. And I would probably post on my socials. Like, if you were truly trying to change your life, like some people, you know, can be a bit embarrassed that they've let themselves go. It's like, you need to, like, you know, throw your, you know, ego out the door and go, you know what? I need to be humble. I'm at this point right now. I'd post on my socials. I'm embarking on this transformation over the next 24 weeks. If anyone sees me, you know, overindulging, like slap the cupcake out of my hand or the beer out of my hand, I would say, like, public accountability. And I'm going to post every Friday my results, okay? And you might post photos if you, like, you have, you know, full humility going forward, and you're not self-conscious. Or you might just post your results as far as your weight and your circumference changing. Either way, you can also post, like, you know, a selfie that you're at the gym. I'm going to post a selfie that I'm in the gym or I'm doing a workout every day for the next 14 days. And you might get sick of it, but this is for me to stay accountable to you, because I know that if I miss a day, someone's going to send me a message, and that will motivate me to keep going. I think there's somewhat of a personal one-to-one accountability, and then somewhat of a broader accountability to a community of people who know you that would be on your social platforms. I think that those two things in themselves will keep you going, even when you don't want to do it. I think that's a big thing for people as well.
Yeah, 100%. There's definitely you would have that consistency. People would be liking the stories and supporting you and that kind of stuff. And to be honest, anyone who says anything negative, it's like, fuck, that's self-selecting out of your life. So I think we had a guy comment on a TikTok where I did a video of me playing with him. He'd be like, I don't want to be the dad who has to sit out because he's too tired and whatever. And he's like, oh, fucking hell. Like, just like every other active parent for the last 20 years. I'm like, is that a bad thing? Like, did that people want to be involved in their kids' lives and be active? Like, I don't understand, man. But there are some negative people out there, and they'll self-select out, which is good. But you will have that consistency of posting, and then you will have that one day where you're like the momentum of doing that and the pressure, even if no one messages you about it, like the pressure mentally of you like saying, I said I was going to do this thing and now I'm not. You've also, I think a big one in that is you've also got to know yourself. If you're someone who would spiral down at one missed day, you might struggle with that approach sometimes, because you might miss a day and then you're like, oh fuck, I've ruined it all and no one cares, no one's gonna fucking miss it, I'm just gonna quit now. So you do, again, you do have to know yourself. But if you are in that circumstance, that's when I think, as Trevor was saying, that one-on-one or personal accountability might be more worthwhile. It's like, hey, like, I'm going to message you every day. If I don't message you, I need you to message me to say, hey man, come on, you can do this. Let's get back on the fucking wagon. So in saying that, like, by having both levels of accountability, you have both of your bases covered, where, you know, if you're someone who would spiral by missing a day, and then it's like, if you haven't got that direct person to say, hey, let's get your shit together, then make sure you have both levels of accountability, with the social pressure, create that social pressure for yourself, that peer pressure. That sometimes peer pressure is a good thing, can help you be a better version of yourself. So use it to your advantage. And then sometimes you'll need that one-on-one accountability where someone's checking in, like, hey man, like, have you been doing the work? I know this is how important it is for you. You've got to tell people your why. You've got to tell people why you're losing this 20, 30 kilos. You've got to let your accountability buddies know, and you've got to be clear on yourself, because there's going to be times when it's hard. You can make it better through the strategy. You can, and this is what I would do. I would get really clear. I'd write it down and be like, no, I'm doing this because I'm sick of being this person. Because that was it for me. When I lost my 20, 30 kilos and I went on my journey, it took me about a year and a half, 2 years, because I did it very consistently, but very slowly, because I was doing all sorts of different things. I wasn't training as hard as I could have been. But consistently over the course of a couple of years, went down to from 105 kilos down to like 73 kilos with abs, right? Trav helped me out for a good, I think for most of that portion. And, in doing that, I had to just be clear. Like, I had a reason why I was doing it. I was like, I saw myself and I was like, fuck. I was like, I can't be like this anymore. It's like, I've got to be a better example. At that point, I didn't have kids, so it wasn't as big of a reason, but it was still enough of a reason to be like, I don't want to be like this anymore. And that's a big thing that I think the guys who are sitting at run 20, 130, they haven't associated enough pain to where they're at yet. If you haven't made the change. And I've got a couple of clients who have been like this as well. It's like, you haven't had enough pain yet of looking in the mirror and going, fuck, is this what I look like? Is this how I feel? Is this how life is always going to be? You've got to know that there is a fucking greener pasture on the other side. You've got to know that through the difficulty of structuring your meals and fucking eating them and going for a walk, right? It doesn't sound that difficult when we put it that way, but over 16, 20, 30 weeks, it does get hard. But over that process, you've got to know that there is change on the other side. Your knees can stop hurting. Your back can stop hurting, right? Unless you swing your daughter around like I do and fucking pull shit, right? But there is a light on the other side of the tunnel. You just have to know that where you are right now is infinitely fucking worse than what is on the other side of that journey. And you've got to make the commitment to say, nah, I cannot fucking be this person anymore. This is not who I am. And as soon as you make that decision, then the rest of the actions just take a lot less effort.
And I think the last thing what I would look at, mate, is just the environmental factors. If I'm looking at like doing a cut, whether it be even for 30 weeks, to be honest, I would look at the social environment. So the friends that I hang out with, where I tend to go over my calories or don't control my maybe alcohol intake, or the environment where I can't control my calorie intake and alcohol intake, and maybe you just cut them out. Maybe cut them out completely for the next 6 weeks. Like, I'm not going to go see Bob and Jim for the next 6 weeks because I know that it doesn't serve me. Now, if you don't see them for the next 6 weeks and they say, oh, come out, let's go to the pub and have some drinks, and you say no, they're still going to be there in 6 weeks' time. Like, Bob and Jim will still be at the pub. Like, you're not losing friends if you say, I'm not going to go for a drink for the next 6 weeks, because you're trying to get your life on track and trying to gain momentum. So you need to look at the people where in your life that might be pulling you back slightly or creating drag, and go, well, you know what, for the next 6 weeks or 8 weeks, I'm going to cut them out just for the moment, or I'm going to meet them down at park run on Saturday mornings and do park run with them, right? Like, if we want to catch up and we're actually mates, let's do something, you know, positive, because I'm trying to change my life, and maybe meet them there. And also look at the environmental factors at home. Like Jace mentioned earlier, I can't have Tim Tams in the house. Hummus is another thing that I overindulge in. Don't have that in the house if I'm really trying to go on a cut. I'm pretty good at it these days, but chocolates are definitely a big thing for me. You know, I'm like Frank the Tank, but with chocolates. Like, once it hits my lips, it, like, you know, we're streaking around the quad. So I think the big thing is for me, I know my environment, and I know what to control and what's harder for me to control. So I take these things out of my environment. So when willpower is low, or say, for example, I'm sick at the moment and my willpower is low when I'm sick, I tend to then want to emotionally feel better. So, you know, when you're tired, when you're drained, when you're training, when you're hungry, your willpower is going to be a bit lower. And there's something in the cupboard, you know, it's easier to go reach to try and make you feel better. So change your environment, get the stuff out of the house, get the stuff out of the kitchen, put it in a safe with a code if you that you don't know, tell your wife the code, whatever it is. And say she can't tell you what it is, but you need to look at the people that are surrounding you, and also need to look at the, you know, just what's in the house and what's in the office or what's in your, that you also could, you would fall prey to overindulging in calories as well. I think those are two things that people overlook at the start of a journey as well.
Yeah, you've got to eliminate any of the triggers that you know will cause you some shit. Essentially. So this again comes back to that idea of self-awareness. So you've got to know in what environments or, you know, for some people it might be even driving home and driving past Macca's or Hungry Jack's. And it's like, oh, every time I drive past that, I can't help but grab something. And so it's like, cool, you've got to drive home a different way, right? Take a different route home so you don't go past the trigger. So you don't go past that, the thing that's an issue for you. So that's, I think that's a huge one, is controlling your environment to reduce the fatigue of, again, resisting temptation, resisting decisions, so you don't have to worry about it. Because if it's not in the house, it's not an issue, right? If it's not in the house and there's no temptation to go grab it, so cool. Then it's just one less thing. You don't even have to make the decision every time you walk past the fridge to go, no, I can't have it. No, I can't have it. No, I can't have it. Right? What I like to do let's say, for example, your wife can't live without chocolate in the house, which is my wife, have an automatic other option that you go for. And have that be your default, right? If you're going to replace a behavior or a trigger from the environment, you've got to replace it with a better behavior. So for me, it's grabbing a carrot or a celery stick. So it's like, if I go and automatically open the fridge, I'm like, all right, carrot, right? If you're choosing to do one thing, you can't think about the other thing. Because you're cool, this is what I'm doing, carrot, delicious. And then you close the door. Because no one's going to grab a carrot and then a fucking bit of chocolate, right? The two just don't mix. No. But that's kind of what I would do as well, is just look at what are my environmental factors. It's not hard for me because I work from home and I barely leave the house. So the only place I leave to is go to the gym, and then occasionally to like family catch-ups and that kind of stuff. Knowing what's going to be there, planning ahead, bringing your own meat. If it's going to be sausages everywhere, just bring some chicken kebabs, that kind of stuff. But on the whole, just knowing if you have people that are not contributing towards your best self, just being aware. It's like, hey, I'm going on this fitness thing. Can't go to the pub for the next 12 weeks, 16, 18 weeks. Because once I do, I let loose too much. So you just exactly. you got to cut yourself off. And then that all again comes back to, you got to have a big reason why you're doing it. So you know why you're not going to the pub, because it's like, fuck, I want to be my best self. And I know that's just going to be a step in the wrong direction.
And guys, to be honest, like, these are the simple factors that if we would start again, how we would approach a consistent or aggressive approach to losing either way, like that 20, 30 kilos in around 30 to 35 weeks, or down to like 24 weeks. So either way is a sliding scale for you to do it, but both ways require consistency. One is just slightly more aggressive. One is just slightly more consistent with your approach. And this is how we would do it. So if you want either a consistent or aggressive approach, that's what we do with the Fit Dad Club. And we look at, everyone is different. Some people will lean to more of an aggressive approach. Some people will need to lean towards more of a consistent approach. But either way, we tailor the approach to you. And that's how we do it with our coaching. So if you want to have a talk about where you are and where you want to go and how we help you close the gap, you can go to fit-dad.club and we can jump on a call and see how we can help you close the gap and which approach with our method is best suited for you. Because it's the same method, just delivered slightly differently based on your behaviors and who you are as a person and also your background. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got to have as well, if you're not the person who's going to be figuring out what your calories should be and how your calories are impacted by the amount of movement that you're doing, and you know what is an acceptable amount of exercise that will still get you moving in the right direction, and when and how to make the tweaks, and should I up my steps and drop my calories, and it's like there's a lot of questions. Like, you can just go out there and start fucking doing it, but if you're someone who's like, look, if it hits a plateau, I'm not going to know what to do, I'm going to need that support, that's what we're here for. We're here to give you the plan to start with and to help you tweak the plan along the way in the ways that you're not going to get burnt out, you're not going to drive your hormones and your sex drive into the ground, but you are going to still get the result and do it in a healthy way where you can then look at your best self by the end of it.
Exactly, guys. So that is the end of today's podcast. That is how we would lose 20 to 30 kilos if we started from scratch. If you want to rate, review, share this with someone who does need to lose 20 to 30 kilos and help them out, you can. Leave some comments on the YouTube.
On the YouTube, and also the podcasts and the interwebs.
On the lines. Yep. And also, guys, you know, if you want us to do a podcast on anything in particular, let us know, reach out to us and give us a shout, and we'll tailor the podcast helping you, because that's what we're about, is helping dads become the best version of themselves. So go to fit-dad.club if you want some help with that. But that is it from me today, Jace. Thank you again for today.
No worries at all, man. Peace out, everyone. See you next week.